This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. I trust the program does bless you and encourage you and maybe even challenges you. For those of you who would like to contact me, perhaps with prayer requests or comments on the program, go to my website, bdcministries.com. That's one word, bdcministries is one word, .com. You can use the email address or the postal address given there. And this program can be re-listened to there, and there's a lot of other information there that you might find helpful. I hope you will visit the website and utilize what is available. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, the address that we've used over the years. You can write to me there, and it will get to me. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, we have finished our study of the Bible and how to study it and our overview of it. And again, for those of you that perhaps missed out on some of that material, if you go to my website, bdcministries.com, there is a link there to an overview of the Bible and principles of Bible interpretation. And that will help you understand a little bit about what we've been doing for a little over a year now. But my hope is that each of you have gained confidence in your own ability to read and to understand the Bible in its context. We often take promises out of context, and I'm not saying that the Lord can't do that at times and even encourage us by doing that at times, but I think it's a dangerous practice because there are many people who look at some of the promises of Scripture, particularly with regard to the issue of healing, and they don't realize that that promise was not made to them or to the church. It was made to an Old Testament prophet, an Old Testament situation. For example, with Hezekiah, it was a personal matter with Hezekiah himself that he would recover from the disease that he thought he was going to die from. And when David says that, I think it's the 103rd Psalm, that the Lord heals all my diseases, we sometimes misunderstand that to think that all of our diseases can be healed. But I think what David is saying is that when he is healed of his diseases, it's the Lord that does it. And so we take these things out of context, and then we get discouraged if we feel like the Lord isn't living up to his side of the bargain. So I hope in going through some of these principles, we've given you an understanding of what is really dependable, straightforward and dependable in our day, and what is perhaps in some cases analytical or symbolic or parables. We need to understand that some of the Bible is not literal, that it is a picture of something else. In the Old Testament, we have illustrations of New Testament truth, and oftentimes we call those Old Testament illustrations types that are explained to us in the New Testament. So I hope that you have gained some confidence in your own ability to read the Bible, and that you will, in fact, perhaps pick up a Bible program if you have a computer that will allow you to compare a standard version such as the King James or the New King James with some of the more contemporary versions, which in many cases are not good translations, but which do point out points of view that maybe we need to consider and study out. And so to compare, say, the NIV with the New King James, I think at times is helpful in your study of the Bible, even though I'm not a fan personally of the NIV, but I do read it from time to time, and from time to time I get help from it. But there are some straightforward promises, and we've mentioned those over and over again, and many of them are found in the Gospel of John, which we're going to look at today, because when we look at the Gospel of John, we're looking at the Lord Jesus as he is being explained for everybody, for the world. And so one of the straightforward verses that we always quote is, for God so loved the world, the whole world, not just the Jew, not just the church, not just you, not just me, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, if anyone in the world believes in him, they should have everlasting life. And so I believe that we can take that as a straightforward a promise. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we have to realize that that truth is encapsulated, that the whole gospel is summarized, is the word I want, in that verse, and that we can take that as a straightforward promise from God, and we can rely upon it. But this time of the year, everybody's wanting to recognize the Christmas story. And so we often go to Matthew or we go to Luke for the Christmas story. Mark doesn't really give us the Christmas story. He gives us, he jumps right into the Lord as a servant and how he does things immediately. And we come to the Gospel of John, and most people would say that there is no Christmas story in the Gospel of John, but I want to disagree with them. It's just told in a different way. And one of the things that I want to read with you today is John chapter 1, and starting at verse 14. Now we know, and I'm not reading from the first verse, but we know in the first verse it says, in the beginning was the Word. And don't argue about what beginning we're talking about. It just simply means once upon a time, or in the beginning of the story was the Word. And the Word, of course, in the Gospel of John is Christ. And we'll see that as we go along. And Christ is the vehicle that tells us all we need to know about God. When we look at a word, it sometimes is a message. And there is a specific word for a message, but even the word that's used here, the logos, is sometimes the message. And sometimes it's the messenger, and the Lord is both. He's the message, and he's the messenger. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. Who's we? Well, we know it includes the 12 apostles, but I think it goes much beyond that. There's others that beheld his glory. We beheld his glory, his beauty, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And notice those two words, how they are placed here together. He was full of grace and truth. John, verse 15 says, John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me. Now, this is John the Baptist, not the John that wrote the epistle that says this. This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And so again, we have that word grace found when we look at verse 16. Of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. And I suppose that's a little bit difficult for us to understand what John means when he says that he was that we have received grace for grace. And I'm just sort of suspecting that he's saying that there was grace there for the Jew, and there was grace there for the Gentile. And I might be wrong on that, but that's the way I would interpret that. But the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And we like to think about the grace and truth that came through Jesus Christ. We like to think of the manger scene. We like to think of the angels that announced the coming of the Lord to the shepherds. We like to think of the wise men who found the Lord within the first 2 years and worshiped him. They came from the east. We like to think of that aspect of the Lord. We like to think of a baby that is born. There's hope associated with a baby that is born. And so grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. But we can't forget that the law was given by Moses. Now, I want to ask you, if we just distinguish our Bible between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and if we look at the first of five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, as the law, if we do that, Would you rather live in a period of time when you worship God under the law? Or whether would you rather live in our day when our worship is under this great truth, that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ? Would we rather be in this period that we sometimes call the church age, or that we sometimes call the day of grace? And I have to admit that I would much prefer being, I think I've been blessed to have been born in this day of grace. What is grace? Well, grace is really goodwill. It's loving kindness. It's a lot of times the word favor is associated with grace. It is represented by a free gift. I find it interesting that the word grace is often used as a name for girls. I haven't found, in our culture at least, that name used as a name for boys. Maybe boys don't reflect grace like the Lord Jesus did. And maybe there's a lesson for us there. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. It's a gift. And when we look at somebody who's great, who demonstrates grace, we say that they're usually people who show respect to others. They say thank you. They say please. They say Mr. or Mrs. if in fact they're dealing with people that they don't know very well. But they use mannerisms and speak in such a way that they, that people believe that they like them. And then that people believe that they honor them. And so this is what grace is all about. But grace is really getting what we do not deserve. And that's what salvation is all about. When we trust Christ, we're trusting in a salvation that we do not deserve. Sinners deserve eternal conscious punishment. And we're all sinners. But God has sent his Son. And so he says the gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, this free gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We sometimes link grace and mercy, but mercy is withholding what we do deserve. We all deserve punishment, and when that's withheld, that, of course, represents mercy. But the person who withholds that punishment is being gracious. And so we love I at least love the fact that I am living in a day of grace. One of the first times we find that word used in the Old Testament has to do with Noah. Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. And that was in a wicked day, but he found favor or grace in the eyes of the Lord. I personally think that it's referring to the day when he came to know the Lord personally. And in the New Testament, we'd say he got saved, but people might argue with me about that, but that's what I think Noah found. He found the same grace I found the day I trusted Christ. And so while God seems to be judgmental in the Old Testament, there was a lot of grace shown, or Israel could no longer be a nation today. We would find that it would no longer exist. Grace and truth, though, came by Jesus Christ. And we have to recognize that many people think that in order to show grace, you can't stand for the truth. But the Lord was able to do both, and we'll look at that next week, the truth that the Lord stood for graciously. And it tells us something about the Lord Jesus that we don't see in the manger scenes, and that we don't see in with the wise men coming to visit the Lord when he was an infant. We see the manifestation of who God really is when we look at the Christmas story as found in John chapter 1. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, and I could give you illustration after illustration from the New Testament of the grace that has been shown to sinners. I would love to do that, but I don't have time. So again, we thank God for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. For our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. That's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for thy blessing upon our program. We pray for thy blessing upon all who have listened today, and we trust that whatever has been of thyself will be used of thyself to bless others. As we give thee thanks in our Savior's name, amen.